It's time for the Wisp Politics Book Club, celebrating Wisconsin authors and books about politics, government, and history.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Mayers from WispPolitics.com, here with the latest edition of the Wisp Politics Book Club, and I'm here talking to Greg Hoffman. He's the author of Immortalized in Bronze. And I should add, he's a good friend of mine and a heck of a sports writer and a great trout fisherman. So welcome, Greg. How are you?
Good. I actually did catch my first about 12, 13-inch brown yesterday, in fact. First one for the season. So you're catching me on a good day.
Oh, so you're happy. Okay. And we're happy to talk about your book, too, Immortalized in Bronze. Tell our listeners about Immortalized in Bronze. How did that come to be? How did you come to write this book?
It's a very long story. It's been 43 years in the making, actually. And the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, for those who don't know, it consists of primarily 130-some plaques that hang on 4th Street in downtown Milwaukee. And we were the first state in the country to have our own Athletic Hall of Fame. It was founded in 1951 to put something in the then brand new Milwaukee Arena. And for years, anybody who's old enough to have gone to stuff in the arena, they hung up there in the foyer as you first came into that place. And so we have a long tradition. The Hall of Fame has a long history, although, albeit, it's been a rocky one. It's twice gone into dormancy during its history and stuff like that. As far as Immortalized in Bronze, I literally started this book 43 years ago as a 25-year-old kid. I know that's giving my age away, but who cares at this age? You know? and I started it primarily because I wanted to write some stories about the individuals within it, and I linked up with the founder, a fellow named Joseph Krieger, who had been a longtime city treasurer for Milwaukee, and in his other life was a complete sports nut. In fact, he had written a wonderful book about the World Series history up to about 1950 and was a good writer himself. And we linked up just to initially do a few stories about these individuals in the hall, and it started to develop into much more. Joe was fortunate to have boxes and boxes of material in his home in Bayview, the southern part of Milwaukee. It included first-person letters from the members of the hall and all kinds of stuff that, unfortunately, over the years, most has been lost, except for this guy who still had them sitting in plastic tubs. And this was supposed to be my first book. It's going to be my seventh. We're hoping it's the lucky seven. But it's finally going to come out. In fact, it was released on the induction night, which was on the 29th of April downtown. And so it's been a labor of love for a long, long time, and there's just some wonderful stories of a lot of individuals within this organization.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. 152 pages, hardcover book, lots of great historic photos, and a lot about the Hall of Fame itself. You know, and people are going to recognize a lot of the names, you know, Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr, Hank Aaron, who's on the cover. But, you know, I think the more interesting thing is here, and I was lucky enough to sort of do some early copy editing on some of these tales, are the unknowns or the ones that have been, you know, maybe forgotten in history. You know, since it's baseball season, tell us about Ginger Beaumont, first batter in World Series history.
Yeah, he's the first batter, and he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's my team, the Pirates.
I know, you're an old Pennsylvania guy there. But grounded out and made history by doing so. But Ginger was a fascinating ball player. He lasted only 11 years because he ended up having some major leg problems. But he had a lifetime average of .311. He batted .357 in 1902. He was one of the only guys, I believe this record still stands, he got 6 infield hits in one game. So he really...
Wow, how do you do that? Don't have enough time to figure that one out.
No, he was very, very quick. And unfortunately, his legs made his game in many ways, but then they also went out on him very early. Ginger has a real soft spot in my heart because my first job, I worked with his son-in-law, a longtime veteran newspaper man, and we actually made an attempt to get Ginger elected to Cooperstown. And of course, we had to go through the senior committee of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and part of the problem, he didn't get in. He missed by about 3 votes. Part of the problem is that the oldest guy on that committee was a guy named Al Lopez, who many people in the Midwest might remember as the White Sox manager back when they won in 1959. And Al was nowhere near old enough to have ever seen Ginger Beaumont play, because his career was basically done around 1912 or 1913. But from a little town called Honey Creek, which is right next to the bigger town of Rochester in Racine County, Western Racine County. And just and he is so typical of what I agree with you. I think some of those fascinating stories about the members of the Hall are some of these people that played or coached 60, 70 years ago. And right now, if you go to Wikipedia, they're a paragraph or two. But they really had many more stories, parts of their stories than that.
All right, another one. We got to talk about Strangler Lewis. I mean, come on. I remember that name from wrestling history. But I mean, tell us about Strangler Lewis.
Well, his actual name was Robert Friedrich, and he is from Nakusa, and he was just a big ox of a guy. And he would from farm country, and he'd be helping people put up their hay and stuff like that. And he'd get wrestling around. He was breaking bones, you know. So his dad kind of urged him to get involved in wrestling, and he did. And he wrestled from 1914 to 1940. He held the heavyweight championship, and this is when wrestling was legit. You know, this was still a real sport back in those days. He held the heavyweight championship 5 times. He went blind once in his life, legally blind, but continued to wrestle during that time too. So
He continued wrestling when he was blind?
Yes, he was legally blind. He said he could see shadows of the guys, and he said, after all, all I was trying to do was grab him and throw him on the ground.
So, okay, well, he might be throwing the ref to the ground if he was.
Yeah, who knows? That could have happened a few times too. But yeah, he was, and he took. There was another wrestler at that time called the Strangler, and so he took that as his name, Strangler Lewis, even though his actual name was Robert Friedrich. But another guy that was quite an interesting character.
So we should mention that Bud Selig, the former baseball commissioner and owner of the lead owner of the Brewers, wrote the introduction to Immortalized in Bronze. So Bud is a supporter of the Hall and of this book, right?
Yeah, he's a member. He was inducted a number of years ago, in fact. And he'll be getting, or he got rather, on the 29th, a Lifetime Achievement Award, which Herb Cole got in 2016, which was the year that the Hall came back after a 7-year dormancy. So, Bud, I'm honored to say that the former commissioner of baseball and a guy that's going to go into Cooperstown this summer wrote the two biggest books I've written is this one and a book called Down in the Valley, which is the history of Milwaukee County Stadium. And Bud wrote the introductions for both of them. That's probably why we sold a lot of Down in the Valley. I hope it works again here now for Immortalized in Bronze. But he's been real gracious in that regards, and I think it's in large part because he is really, first of all, quite a historian himself, and secondly, just really loves this state and the sports in it.
Yeah, we should mention, Greg, that you covered the Brewers for many years as a freelancer with so many outfits, I can't even name them all. But you're a veteran baseball journalist and covered a lot of other sports, too. And so you're well qualified to write this book, Immortalized in Bronze. Why don't you tell us how you can get the book?
Well, you can get the book right now. We're in the early stages of marketing. The best ways to find out the various places it's going to be available are to go to the Immortalized in Bronze Facebook page, and the information is on there. And then also the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame Facebook page, and they have a standalone website, which they also list how it can be purchased. We'll be in bookstores, we're figuring, by about June, and we'll also be on Amazon, and we're not forgetting, even though I know I'm on a podcast, and I write primarily the last number of years for websites, including yours at one time, but I'm not forgetting the people that still use snail mail. So you can also If you want to order it, you can send $38, which includes shipping and handling, to Wisconsin Sports Legacy. It's my company that helped publish this book. Post Office Box 55, and that's in Westby, where I live, Westby, Wisconsin, 54667.
All right. Well, and as Greg said, you can go to the Hall of Fame website at www.wihalloffame.com. So thank you, Greg Hoffman, author of Immortalized in Bronze. Congratulations on a great book, and we'll see you soon. And thank you to all the listeners of this week's edition of the WIS Politics Book Club. See you next time.
The WIS Politics Book Club was brought to you by generous sponsors. See them in the archive of these podcasts at wispolitics.com.
There's hot times in old town, downtown tonight. Hot times in old town tonight.